cruising down the street in my 6'4".
Just like that, somebody turned off the rain and the sun come out.
I'm your huckleberry.
Hey everybody, you don't know me, but I'm on TV, so you can trust me.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Welcome to the This is Tampa podcast with
Rob.
And I'm Jen, and today we have a special guest.
Hey guys, I'm Tim with the Community Market at the Grove in Wesley Chapel.
Yay!
Tim Harrell, yes. Good to have you.
Thank you. Thanks for being here, guys.
Yes, of course.
Awesome things happening over at the Grove. And this is actually the second podcast we had with somebody from the Grove. And you are in charge specifically of the marketplace that happens every Saturday.
Can
you tell us? Yeah, tell
sure. And first, I want to say thanks for people watching. It looks kind of funny. We're literally in a martial arts dojo or dojong right now. Yeah,
this is where he lives.
This is where I. Yep. This is I run the TLC marketing agency, and then you know, martial arts is my passion. So when you guys said you were willing to come out to Wesley Chapel to do the podcast, I purposely asked if we could do it here. But with that said, you know, the Grove, you know, great place over on this side of Tampa. You know, it has big box stores. You have, like, you know, the Best Buy, Dick's Sporting Goods, you know, TJ Maxx, a lot of activity there shopping wise. And it's been there for a while. I've been in Tampa for a year and a half. It's been there years before me, and about 4 months ago it was bought by a new ownership, new family, and they've totally given it a new facelift thus far, you know, changing it from just a big box store that seasonally has events and farmers markets to now the Community Market, which is 60 plus local businesses. I don't like to call them vendors because they're businesses. 60 plus local businesses every single Saturday. This isn't seasonal. This is happening every Saturday from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. It's not going anywhere. And I'm the bridge. I'm the liaison from the local businesses and the ownership and property management at the Grove. So they said they had a vision to bring more into the Grove, and they wanted to know how. And me coming from working with marketing and small businesses, idea that myself and our agency TLC came up with was let's put a permanent community market. Let's give local businesses of Tampa everywhere, all parts of Tampa, a place they can come together and just sell and have a good time. And it's been doing great. We've had three Saturdays thus far, and it's literally doubled in size each Saturday.
That's
crazy.
Amazing.
Yeah. So it's growing a lot. Do you foresee, like, any of these businesses where they have, like, tables and tents and stuff like that?
They have tents and their spaces, just like a normal flea market or farmer's market. They set up booths. They have about a 10-foot by 10-foot, you know, square space for tents, tables. And business-wise, I mean, business galore. I have a couple of fresh farmer's markets. I have artists that make crafts, sculptures. I have a few painters out there. I have baked goods out there. We have food trucks. I mean, we have clothing. If you like food, that's definitely a place to come.
Oh yeah.
Do you foresee, like, any, because, you know, we talked to Steve before and he told us about the whole container park and
absolutely
stuff like that. Do you foresee any of these businesses maybe getting into that, like, upgrading eventually?
I like I was telling Jen, this is actually just the tip of the iceberg. And what I mean, we have the container park, which is a huge project starting, and a majority of the businesses that are doing the community market are already leasing parts of the container. So I have a lot of businesses that are well established now, but their establishment has always been, well, I go to this market, then I go to this market, then I do this. So they're well known and their business is thriving, but they don't have a home location. So a lot of the businesses that are already coming on Saturdays are going to be moving over into the container park for a permanent position. Same thing, a lot of people who are contacting us, because we're the ones helping with the container park, people who are contacting us for that are saying, hey, well, you know, if the container park doesn't kick off till later on in 2020, what can I do now? And we say, come to the market, you know, come out on Saturdays and help get your name out and brand. So yeah, a lot of people, not everyone, but a lot of people who are at the community market will be seen later on and 2020 being a permanent resident in the Grove.
Right. And they'll continue, I'm sure.
And continue on. So the community market's not stopping. It's going to take place every single Saturday for many years to come. Even after the container park actually goes up and running, we're still going to have the community market. The community market's on one end of the Grove, and then the container park's on the other. And it just makes it beautiful. I mean, like I tell people now to ask, there's so many reasons to come to the Grove on a Saturday. You know, especially with Christmas, you're coming to shop at the big box stores. There's a movie theater, Chuck E. Cheese. Later on, there's going to be the container parks. And when you come in for any of those reasons, you'll see the community market. You'll see the tents, the food trucks. You can't help but to stop and go in. So it's just a win-win traffic-wise.
Yeah, that's awesome. We still haven't got out there, but you know, we do have plans to get out there.
Absolutely, come out. Always invited.
Yeah, we're going to do a special This Is Tampa Live event, our first one.
First Tampa Live event.
We won't do one before that. We're going to make that with the first one.
Oh, I look forward to it. We're making history together.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, so cool. So if people want to come to the community market, say you're just coming to shop or something.
Sure.
Tell me a little bit, like, what time, where do they park, what should they bring, do they need cash, do they take credit cards, you know,
so
all the nitty-gritty details.
And those are, and I have a wife and kids, and on Friday nights, my wife has already figured out our weekend, and a lot of it is markets and stuff. So those are good questions.
Yes.
So the community market, the event is from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. Okay. Every single Saturday. Most of the I haven't had one yet that doesn't take debit cards.
Okay.
So most of them do have their own chips and able to do debit and stuff. Obviously, cash is another way, but there is, you know, I never have cash and stuff. As far as what to bring, where to park, it's in the Grove. And there's a space already designated and blocked off, so there's no traffic driving through. It's safe. You know, all the tents and stuff are all together. It's nice and organized. There's food trucks and everything on the back end. Cool. But there's more out there. And what I mean, as far as my company and us doing this, we're not just doing stuff to bring people to the Grove. We're doing, customer-wise, we're doing stuff to bring them back. So, like right now, every Saturday, since the first one all the way till Christmas, we have a Santa Claus and Mrs. Ooh. Claus, and they're doing free pictures. So families, if you want to get a Santa Claus picture, your children, you know, take a picture with Santa Claus, you can come. These are free.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to pay for it. And they're going to be there. They have a booth set up. Okay. We have live music that's playing for 2 hours every Saturday. And these are local bands.
Wow.
So these guys are people that the community already knows. Every Saturday, it's a different local band. So they're on a rotation.
Wow.
Yep, after Christmas, in January, we're looking to do a classic car show.
Cool.
One Saturday.
Sweet. Yep. I think it might be able to come.
Absolutely.
Back.
So it's not just a market. You know, this is the place to go on Saturdays. People often say, hey, I went to that market last Saturday. It was great. Maybe we'll go back in a couple of weeks. Oh. But this, you don't have to worry about. You've been in there and you've seen it all. Every weekend, we have different rotation of businesses. So different businesses, obviously, a lot of them stay every Saturday. But every weekend, we have newer businesses coming on.
Mm-hmm.
We have different attractions. We have live music every Saturday.
Cool.
Santa Claus, different events. So every Saturday, it's something different.
Yeah, I think that's good to have, you know, you have your usual, so people know what to expect, and then there's something extra every time, something different that they can
absolutely
enjoy.
So cool.
My question is, like, how do you differentiate yourself from a marketing position from, like, say, Wiregrass that has a similar thing? I don't think they have it as often as you. I think they have it once a month or whatever, like a farmer's market. Do you look at them, what they're doing, and like try and differentiate what you're doing here?
Well, and I was telling Jim before the cameras came on. So let me explain a little bit about myself. I'm a U.S. Army veteran. I joined the Army. I was born on Fort Bragg. My father was in the Army, and I joined the Army after high school. And when I got out of the Army, I did a stint as retail management, and from there I moved into marketing. And the reason why, I love customer service. I love working with people. I love merchandising, marketing. And when I went into marketing, I started on the other end of where my businesses are. I was the guy going to events. I was the one setting up tables and setting up tents. And I did that for a long time. And that led me into working with local businesses in North Carolina. I'm actually from North Carolina. And then from there, I moved up to big box, working merchandising and marketing for Fortune 500 companies and dealerships. Mm-hmm. And that's what brought me down to Tampa a year and a half ago. And when I moved down to Tampa, I saw an opportunity. I saw what was going on at the Grove. I saw a chance for me to use everything that I had already done, the experiences I had, not only working with marketing and small businesses, but also all my experience of being in events and selling from tents and setting up booths. I saw a chance for me to actually help out in that retrospect. So what I did was I got together, we got with the Grove, the owner, Mark Gold, and his family, TLC Marketing Agency, and we said, let's do this. So I'm not just a person who puts on events. Mm-hmm. I have been to events. I have sold in events. So with that said, and a lot of my vendors, they tell me that, they're like, man, the way you do things and your policies and your support is bar none. You know, the thing that sets ourselves apart is I don't just say, hey, I want 30 vendors, see you later. I'm not right. a set it and forget it. I'm out there every Saturday, personally myself. I'm out there at 7 o'clock in the morning myself with my crew and my children. My son helps Aww. Me. We're setting up. We're helping people get set up. You know, we're making sure all of our businesses are happy, just the same as the customers and stuff. So I'd say what would set me apart is I've been there. You know, I'm not just here wanting to make some money and check some boxes right. off and get as many businesses. I've been on the booth side and the vendor yeah. side. So everything I liked about being a vendor, I make sure it's better for my vendors now. Everything that I didn't like or anything I thought maybe could have been done better in my experiences, I fix that every yeah. time. So that, for me, I say what sets us apart, and I can't speak on the other companies and other events, but what sets us apart is we've been there. We've all been there, we've done it, and we're doing it together now.
Yeah, and your experience. Is,
absolutely.
You can't replace that. It's something different. And you can tell you're out there 7 a.m. I mean, that's probably a little bit of that dedication. Military, you know, that military mindset and that background. And then, you know, being on that side of the business, being in the booths, you have a different perspective than
different
most other marketers would.
Absolutely. Like I'm glad you guys were here. You know, I'm not just working with local businesses. I am a local yes. business. I own a local business mm-hmm. in the community. So the community is important, not just for me on that side, but on both sides.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That is so cool. So if someone wants to be like a vendor or a business at the community market, what would they do? Are you still taking
I take applications. My team, we do a little bit of a screening. The screening process isn't to say, is your business good or not? Number one, we want to make sure that anyone who applies gets an opportunity. We want to make sure they are a business, mm-hmm. you know? So there's a little bit of an application process. All applications, all screening come back directly through me. Mm-hmm. So I actually get hands-on, I look, I verify, and then from there, we help them on. We take applications every single week. You know, obviously, by 5 o'clock on Friday, we close for business. Mm-hmm. We're staging and stuff. But anyone watching this, if mm-hmm. you're interested, it's never too late. With that said, you know, 60 plus businesses, you can apply. The only thing that may prevent someone, and this is a good thing that most businesses would appreciate, mm-hmm. the only thing that might prevent or prolong someone from getting into the market would be exclusivity. And what I mean is, mm-hmm. obviously, I only want one or two per industry that day. So, right. So if I had 5 hot dog stands and all 5 wanted to come this Saturday, I would, you know, I want them all to come, but obviously just to be fair, make them have as successful as possible. Right. I would talk to all 5 and say, hey, look guys, I have 5 of you, maybe only 2 of you should come this Saturday. Let's figure out which days the other ones are going to come. So I take anyone that wants to apply of any business, please apply. You comes back to me. I will personally contact you myself and I will make sure that whichever Saturdays they pick, mm-hmm. I get you in there and you're not going to compete. I want people to come there and be successful, not come there and compete with other businesses.
Right.
So if someone does want to apply, where would they contact you?
Absolutely. You can contact me. So you can go straight. I'm going to give you my email address. It's tim@tlcmarketingagency.org. Feel free to contact me directly on my email. We have a Facebook standalone page, TLC Community Markets.
Oh, cool.
TLC Marketing Agency on Facebook. We even have a website. Oh, yeah. It's called The Grove Community Market. And you can see all the information about the Grove, what's going on. You can see the information about the community market. You can even scroll on there and see all of our vendors. We have over 100 in the rotation. Cool. You can see all the other vendors and everything. So I'd love to talk to you. Love to get you set up.
Yeah, that's perfect. Cool. Well, hopefully we get some more applications.
Absolutely.
Always
absolutely.
Good to keep the small businesses thriving here in the Wesley Chapel area.
Let's get it up to 100. Can you get it up to 100?
The plan is to outgrow. When we first started in the Grove, and I'm not sure if you're watching this and if you guys are familiar, in the Grove there was that one spot that had the coffee shop and the water fountain. Before that was where we were going to be originally. Before the very first Saturday, we had already outgrown that spot. We had more businesses than room. We had to move it to a larger part of the parking lot. And after the first Saturday to the second Saturday, we expanded again. So, you know, sky's the limit. Yeah, you know, I mean, room. There's always room. If there's room, there's a way. And that's what I like to do.
That is so cool. What a great opportunity.
Yeah, I like it.
I forgot what I was just going to ask you. You triggered my memory for something, but I cannot recall what it is. So tell us, how did the Grove get started? It's always been there.
Sure.
But it looks like it's been changing over the past couple
absolutely.
Months with Mark Gold, right?
Mark Gold.
So where did he come from? How did he stumble upon it? And where did he get this vision from?
So Mark Gold, and I guess vision is the best way to say it. So he's actually he's from Israel.
Oh, wow.
Him and his family, they all work together. They're a family-owned business too, internationally. And they've done this. They've moved to they've done this. This isn't a guinea pig program. Mm-hmm. They've been to other shopping centers and other properties through Europe, Canada, and other parts of America, where they find places that, you know, I want to say demographically have a lot of potential. Mm-hmm. Just like the Grove, you know, people who know the Grove.
Yeah.
It's been around for a while. Big box stores, a lot of fields, a lot of wide open space.
Right.
You know, this is the perfect place to put a market like this. Mm-hmm. You know, on top of the market, his vision, we have the container parks coming up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to have entertainment out there, not just at the community market, but it's going to be in the future in 2020 and beyond, where we use for like music, you know, art conventions, art shows.
So cool.
His vision was right online. I want to come to the Tampa Bay area. I want to do X, Y, and Z. Where can we do it? Here's a beautiful, very nice shopping center in a nice end of Tampa that the people in that area have just been waiting for something like this to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So to be able to join up with a family who has done this with great success in the past in other areas, with an area who's been waiting for something like this, it was only a matter of time.
So I'm
excited. I feel honored on behalf of myself and TLC Marketing Agency to be able to be a part of the bridge to bring between Mark Gold and his family's vision and this area. And that's exactly what the community market represents.
Yeah. And when do they have plans to get the container park going? I know you said 2020.
Yes.
Any projections yet? Summer, fall, or?
So I don't know I don't want to get misquoted. So I don't know the exact date. Now I will say this, the container park leasing wise is almost well over 80% leased.
Wow.
So I mean, it's a wide open field. There's a large number of businesses that aren't just saying, hey, I'm thinking about it.
Uh-huh.
There are businesses who have already signed on, already bought in,
so
and everything.
Cool.
So I don't want to misquote, but I would definitely say before mid 2020, get ready to see some really exciting things happening. And not just the container park. There's going to be, you know, entertainment park on the other end of the Grove, which is the next phase of it. So the community market's just, like I said, it's just the tip of the iceberg for the Grove and for Wesley Chapel.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Do baby steps, but it sounds like your baby steps are really big steps.
Yeah.
we take baby steps, but we take them very quickly.
That's so awesome. So tell us a little bit more about you, Tim, and your family. You're from North Carolina.
Sure.
I know you mentioned you've got a couple kiddos.
I do.
Tell us a little bit more about you.
So I military brat. My father was in the Special Forces. He was a Green Beret. So I grew up in the military, you know, and never knew that, you know, growing up, kids are saying, I want to be a doctor, an astronaut. I didn't know. I got to be in the Army. And I grew up knowing I was going to be in the Army. Obviously, I loved martial arts. I saw Karate Kid at a young age, and it wasn't Mr. Miyagi and it wasn't Danielson. I saw the Cobra Kai, this tough bunch of kids that knew karate, because it was Karate Kid. And I told my parents, I said, hey, I want to take karate. And, you know, so I'm out in the front yard throwing kicks and punches, kicking trees. So on my 11th birthday, they surprised me. And they took me to my first class. And it was a Taekwondo school originally. My first. So on my 11th birthday, I started Taekwondo. I did Korean martial arts from the age of 11 all the way up to my senior year. And when I graduated high school, I had a scholarship to go to Korea and continue to do Taekwondo.
Wow.
So I spent 3.5 years right after high school. I moved to South Korea. I was in Dongducheon, which is right above Seoul. And I spent 3.5 years doing Taekwondo and also other martial arts at night and everything. And from there, I continued. I was in the military. I was on the All-Army Taekwondo team, All-Armed Forces Taekwondo team. And I continued to become a combatives instructor and teach martial arts to military police and combat arms soldiers like infantry and scouts. So my martial arts led into a whole window of opportunities that joined with the military. After Korea, I went to upstate New York to 10th Mountain Division and deployed. I did two consecutive tours in Afghanistan.
Wow.
With doing reconnaissance and surveillance. I was attached to a special forces team. And when I got out of the military, you know, I never stopped doing martial arts. Loved martial arts. And that's when I got out. I was a retail store manager and I was doing martial arts and I was marketing myself for the martial arts. If I wanted to compete in tournaments or if I wanted to teach a seminar, I would market myself to get sponsors and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's when I quickly realized, hey, there's something about this marketing that I really like, you know, not just for my martial arts. I like marketing. So, you know, everyone has a day job. I switched over to marketing. Worked for a marketing agency that did marketing and business consulting for small businesses, local businesses. And that's when I started learning it and I started seeing how rewarding it was, you know, to help a business just getting started. It doesn't necessarily have thousands of dollars to play around with or to waste. And not that it would be a waste, but even to give out.
Yeah.
And just a totally different type of marketing. From there, about a year and a half ago, I came down to Tampa for a week. Watching, hanging out at a marketing agency down here that was a big box marketing agency. They liked me. They recruited me to come down. I went back up and I did the biggest sell. I had two kids at the time.
Oh,
I had a teenage son and a 7-year-old daughter, a 14-year-old son and 7-year-old daughter and a pregnant wife. And the big sell was, hey, I would love to go to Tampa. It would be great for us. And I had to sell my wife. And luckily she was sold. We moved down here a year and a half ago, had our third child. And from there, I saw this opportunity. I knew something in my life was missing. I love marketing, but it was something missing. And what the missing piece was the reward factor. Mm-hmm. And what I mean, nothing wrong working with big box companies and Fortune 500 companies. There's tons of opportunity. But what I realized was if I help a Fortune 500 company, I'm not really helping that company. You know, that's just a check the box. They make websites. They have big events. Money's not really a big portion of it to them. But if I help a smaller company that says, hey, Tim, I have $200 to my name. What can I do to get my name out there? I have to get creative. All right, well, let's see. Can we make a Facebook page that's free? You know, can we get you into an event or maybe get you in front of some people and stuff? So I felt like the creativity and the rewards and stuff of helping local businesses was something I liked more. That was the piece of marketing I genuinely enjoyed doing. So that's what just one, like a domino effect, came down here, still working with big box companies, saw an opportunity at the Grove, decided to make another leap of faith and step out of my comfort zone and really take a chance. And it's been going very well. I've helped literally, I have over 100 local businesses that I'm currently helping, not just in Wesley Chapel area, Tampa Bay alike. Mm-hmm. I still get to do charity events. I put on a 2-day martial arts seminar and we donated 100% of the proceeds to cancer and rare disease. We called it rare disease and cancer awareness. As a matter of fact, outside of the Grove TLC Marketing Agency, another big event we're doing in 2020 is we're going to put on some martial arts tournaments. A lot of Brazilian jiu-jitsu people out in the Tampa Bay area, a lot of Brazilian instructors. So we're going to put on some Brazilian jiu-jitsu tournaments. And the tournaments, the proceeds that we bring in are going to go towards soldiers and PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. So on top of just marketing and helping businesses, I'm trying to also help communities and stuff. There's a saying that I don't know if I made it up or if I heard it and just told people, but it's don't just be good at something, be good for something.
Yeah. Hey, so, babe, you might have made that up. That's the first time I heard it. Let me see what happened to our light here.
That is awesome. Well, that is really cool. So, and then how does your family like?
They love it. My wife's from upstate New York. So for people that don't know, when it snows, when it snows in New York, upstate New York, it doesn't stop. You know, the snow starts coming out the week of Thanksgiving and it doesn't stop snowing. I don't just mean snow on the ground. I mean, snow falls until at least February. So we moved down. So she does not like cold weather. She's done with it.
Good for her.
Yeah, we moved down here. Last winter, it was 53 degrees was the low, and we didn't have to wear jackets. So she's on board. I think we're going to be in Tampa for a very long time.
Yay.
Trust me, I know all about that upstate New York.
Oh yeah. So,
but it looks like our light just went kaput. your light's dead, Jen.
Yeah, it's all good. We've got holiday sales, so I've got another one. At some point. Maybe I could buy one.
Put on your Christmas list.
Hey, come on to the Grove. Maybe we can have an electronic person set you up.
There we go. Hey, I like it. Mm-hmm. See, collaboration already.
Yep. Well, listen to me. That's a great story, and it's interesting following it because it seems like karate has just led you on your path. Your passion has led your path, and that's great.
I tell my son's 15. He did martial arts for a long time, but he has grown out of it, and he's grown into music. And you know, one of my old training buddies asked me, he's like, you know, he sees my son posted on Facebook that he does music all the time. He's like, you're not mad that your son doesn't do jiu-jitsu? And I was like, hey, if there's something healthy that can keep someone, a young person, focused and engaged, let them do it. You know, like martial arts for me as a young child, it kept me engaged, focused. You know, my parents were strict. You know, if I messed up in school, I'm not going to practice. So it kept me on the straight and narrow. Mm-hmm. And same thing, you know, my son is into music. He's into the marching band and theater. And this is what, you know, this is the avenue that keeps him on the straight and narrow. So I just, as long as you're focused and motivated in something that's healthy and positive, it's only going to lead to it's only going to open better doors, you know. So that's the way I feel about that.
Yeah, you can't force passions either.
Absolutely.
You know
what
I mean? You gotta let them develop on their own.
Right.
So that's great.
Well, it's a great thing that he has those passions too. Music is very important, so cool. Well, should we do a little lightning round? You got any more questions, Rob, for Tim here? Or?
We'll get them as we as I think of them, I guess. But
all right, lightning round. I'm sweating already, so let's do it.
Yeah, don't worry about that. You'll be fine. I should have. Do you have your Wi-Fi thing?
I do. Yeah, I'll get it out in a sec.
That's all right. I might not need it.
Okay, so you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Come whatever comes at you.
Let's do it.
All right, ready? Well, hopefully you can answer some of these. I know you're new to Tampa. So, Tampa or St. Pete?
Tampa.
Okay. North Tampa or South Tampa?
I don't know. Where am I at? I'm still learning roads, and I drive my GPS.
We're in North Tampa.
Okay, North Tampa all day long. All day long.
How about favorite pizza in Tampa?
Favorite pizza in Tampa. I am a vegan.
They have vegan pizza, don't they?
They do have vegan pizzas. That's why I'm a vegan. There's a place, it's called Chucky's, and it's in Temple Terrace. It's a store, but they have a deli in the back, and they make some pretty good vegan pizza.
Oh, is that Chuck's Natural Food?
Chuck's Natural Food. That's what it is.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes. I've got to stop by.
They make probably the best. And I'm just going to put it out there. I'm not a big fan of, I'm vegan. My whole family's vegan. Plant-based is the better.
Wow.
But I'm always going out to restaurants because it's always like, it's going to cost a lot more money.
Yeah.
But I'm very impressed with their pizza. So.
Cool.
Yeah, that's going to ruin the other lightning round question.
Oh, no. Well, yeah. I was going to say best steak in Tampa, but I guess you don't eat steak.
N.A.
Okay. N.A. What about best dessert in Tampa? Favorite dessert in Tampa?
Favorite dessert in Tampa. Okay, wow. Let's see. There's a few places that I enjoy going. There's a yogurt, frozen yogurt place that also has vegan yogurt. I think it's called Yogurtology.
Okay. We've had that before.
Yeah.
That's
soft serve. Yeah. I love that.
Good
place.
Oh, they have vegan.
They have vegan. They have vegan frozen yogurt.
All right. Well, let me change my lightning round here. You're vegan, so where do you go? What are your favorite places to?
So, one place me and my family love to go is, it's called Vegan International Market.
Ooh.
And it's a very nice, I assume it's family owned because it looks like the husband and wife are always there.
Yeah.
And just super good food. They have deli foods and stuff in there.
Oh, cool.
Very nice, very friendly. It seems like a lot of regulars go there too. Yeah. Every time you go in, they're waving and stuff. But
oh, that's awesome.
That's probably by far my favorite vegan restaurant. We go there every Sunday.
Oh, that is so cool.
Every Sunday.
Well, I have to ask, how did you come upon the vegan lifestyle?
Okay, so for us, the way we became vegan, we had my daughter, my middle daughter Sam was very young still. And one night, my wife, this is kind of a funny story. My wife was, it was probably about, you know, 9 or 10 o'clock at night.
Uh-huh.
And my wife was complaining that she was having cramps really bad. And I'm just, you know, being a guy, I'm just like, all right, whatever, drink some water.
Yeah.
And it got to be about 12 o'clock at night, and she was still, the pain was worse. Aww. Even worse, she couldn't go to sleep. No. 2 o'clock in the morning, she was screaming. So, you know, I packed my son and my daughter up. We, you know, went to the emergency room, very scared, worried.
God.
And, you know, we get in there to the emergency room, and the doctor, you know, we're on the bed, or my wife's on the bed, and the doctor comes in, and my wife's screaming, you know, we're praying, we're worried. Uh-huh. And the doctor's like, okay, is it here? And she touches this one spot, just walked in, okay, is it here? And my wife's like, I start screaming. She's like, it's your gallbladder. You have to get your gallbladder removed tonight. And she went to, surgery, had a gallbladder removed. And they gave her two diets. They gave her a post-surgery recovery diet, and then they gave her a life diet. So the post-surgery recovery diet was for the first 2 weeks after the surgery. Uh-huh. The other one was for, let's try to keep this diet the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, ultimately it was a vegan diet. There was no fried food. It was all plant-based. Uh-huh. No fried foods, no egg, no cheese, any of that. And on both sides. And so obviously my wife was going to have to be a vegan.
Right.
But my wife, you know, came from the medical background and stuff. And so she did her research immediately, and she said, well, why is this? And she started to see the benefits of being a plant-based, having a plant-based diet.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew she was going to have to be plant-based the rest of her life because she didn't have a gallbladder.
Yeah.
And we decided together, but if this was a healthier alternative, why not the whole family switch? Both our children, we have three now, but one wasn't even born. Both our children were very young, so it wouldn't even be hard for them. They don't go to restaurants or buy food without us, you know? And so for me and her, we would have to make the switch, and our kids would just, you know, do it. So we decided a few years back that let's switch to be vegan.
Oh my
God. It was rough on me. I come from a steak eating background myself.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I switched. Our kids switched. Our daughter was born, so our daughter has been vegan since birth.
Know any better.
And it's not, a lot of people wonder, and they're like, hey, what do you only eat, lettuce and stuff? And it's not that, it's really not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
My wife's a little bit more strict than me. My wife eats more whole foods, and she makes us our own foods.
Mm-hmm.
I do stay strictly, mostly vegan. I eat a lot of processed vegan, you know, like the alternative, like the beef and stuff, but it's not bad. I've eaten some vegan hamburgers that you wouldn't even know.
I'm like the opposite. I'm
plant-based.
I'm like the meatitarian. It's gotta be killed before I eat it.
They got a joke, and it's true. They say, how can you tell who the vegan is in the room is? And you don't have to worry because they're going to tell you.
It's so true.
Anywhere you go, people, if they're vegan, they're like, hey, is this vegan? You know, I'm a vegan. I can't eat that and stuff. So,
yeah, I think it's interesting. My one of my best friends, actually, my workout partner is vegan. And he went to vegan like, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. And he swears by it, too.
Yeah, I mean.
But he used to be a professional bodybuilder, too. So he was used to putting on, and you know, tons of steak. Yeah. Well, he's not anymore. I mean, now he's not a competing bodybuilder. You know, he can afford to lose out on a little protein if that's what you're doing. But he swears you can get a lot of protein, you know, from plant based.
Yeah, you can. For me, I'm going to do whatever my wife tells me to do. You know, my wife tells me, you go on a chocolate milk diet, I'm drinking chocolate milk. But yeah, my wife, she constantly does the research. She's very. Very passionate about not you know, belittling people, but she likes to educate people when they ask and stuff. And apparently, just protein wise, and this is something I learned, was, you know, because I came up the same way, thinking that you have to eat meat to get the protein, but the meat, the cow that you're eating, is really the middleman. The protein is coming from the dirt and the grass, and when a cow eats it, the protein's stored with the cow, and then we eat the middle, you know, we're eating the second hand protein.
Yeah.
Where if you went straight to the source and you ate beans and nuts and stuff, yeah. you're getting the protein that the cow was going to give you. Oh, so that was something I learned about
interesting.
That.
Interesting. Never heard it described like that before. Yeah. How cool. Yeah,
but the cow tastes so good.
The cow does taste good. Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, now you stumped me. Now I've got to figure out some new lightning round questions because half of them are food.
Yeah, right. They're all food.
I learned my lesson.
Did you do the sports one?
Oh yeah. Well, I don't know if you're gonna. I don't know. You're not a native Tampanian.
I'm gonna be good disclaimer real quick. I'm not a native to Tampa. I'm learning. Uh-huh. But sports wise, I don't watch football. I don't watch sport. The only sports that I watch are MMA. So football season's a hard time of the year for me.
Wow.
All the guys are. Oh, you see the game last night? And I'm like. No, I didn't see the game, but I have a cauliflower ear, so I just...
I got a question then. Who's the GOAT?
Who is the GOAT in what, MMA or boxing?
Yeah, MMA.
Well, I think, right, it changes a lot. You know, you got so many people have changed through the time, weight classes and stuff. I think right now, I'm going to name a couple of people. I have mad respect for the Diaz brothers. Obviously, the one Diaz took a hard loss couple weeks ago, but that was a tough guy. He fought. I would say, what's the Russian gentleman's name that's kind of the champion right now that beat McGregor? I feel bad not remembering.
Masvidal.
That was the one that beat Diaz, but the Russian who the Sambo guy.
That beat McGregor. Oh. What the hell he goes by?
No, I'll just Google
somebody his name. What about like Anderson Silva? How far back, dude?
Some of my favorites. Sakuraba. They call him the Gracie Hunter. I have always been a fan of Sakuraba, and not just. I mean, his personality. He wears wrestling Mexican wrestling mask, walking out in the ring.
Oh,
he's a clown. You know, he has a great sense of humor. He's very skilled. I mean, he not only defeated several of the Gracies, but he defeated them with a Kimura arm lock. He broke a few of the Gracies' arms with that arm lock. And just historically, he chose that Kimura arm lock because the whole Japanese-Brazilian jiu-jitsu rivalry has been on since Helio Gracie, who's the founder of Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And when Helio Gracie, back in the early 60s or late 50s, he challenged the Japanese jiu-jitsu champion. And his name was Kimura. And he actually broke Helio Gracie's arm in a lock that they later named Kimura after him. So the rivalry's been there forever. So years later, when the pride started in Japan and Kimura and Sakuraba was there fighting Gracies, he chose that lock to beat the Gracies with. And he broke two of the Gracies' arms
Henzo
with it.
Henzo Gracie was one.
He broke Henzo Gracie's arm and he broke Hoyler Gracie's arm. He broke Henzo Gracie's arm. I don't think Hoyler Gracie's arm actually got broke, but it was tied up pretty well too. So he's my all-time. Sakuraba is one of my all-time favorites. I really like GSP, George St. Pierre. I like his style. I like how every technique he does leads into another technique. I can talk martial arts all day.
Oh, my God. I know.
Me and you, we can have a separate podcast. Yeah,
She's looking at us like.
No. I'm just like, this person broke their arm. This person broke their arm. I don't even know.
But I think currently, right now, who's in there right now, I think, I hate that I forgot his name.
Khabib.
I would say right now, it's going to be hard. He hasn't been in long enough to call him the GOAT yet, but I can definitely see him quickly rise into the top.
I think McGregor is going to come back and beat him.
Really?
All right. I'll tell you someone who might beat both of them.
Who's that?
Our non-Florida man story.
Oh, yeah.
How about Mrs. Let's see. What's her name?
What's her name?
I don't know.
I got her right here. Ruby Delgado.
Maybe she'll be the GOAT because she... What did she do, Rob? Tell us.
Well, I guess her son got a bad haircut, right? Mm-hmm. So... She didn't appreciate it. I don't know how bad a haircut. I mean, I've had some bad haircuts. But I just shaved my head off. You know? Anyway, this lady took specific issue with it, and she tried to run the barber over with her car.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that's pretty extreme, you know? Yeah, that's worse than breaking arms. And
that's kind of extreme.
Yeah. So this is how the story reads. It says a mom, oh, I know, maybe this is from England, but it says mom. Oh, I guess so, like Seven News Australia. A mom was so furious with a haircut barber gave her son, she allegedly ran over him, right? According to KTVU, police are currently looking for, well, they must have found her by now, but Ruby Delgadillo, who authorities say rammed her Prius into Brian Martin, 63, who owns the Delta Barbershop in Antioch, California.
Wow.
So this is California woman.
Uh-oh.
Wow. Gender neutral, too, so it's not always.
Hey, some barbers are savage, though. I'm going to let you know, there's a hustle, and I don't know if you go to barbershops, there's a hustle at barbershops, and it's a $20 hustle, because most barbershops, it's about $15 to get your hair cut. And right. Then, you know, they want a tip. And I've seen it. I fell for it one time. I came in there and, you know, he told me how much it was. And I pulled a $20 bill out. And barbers have money. They have stacks of money. And I said, here's a 20. And he's like, oh, I don't have change for a 20. Has anyone got change? And every barber in there said, oh, I don't have change. So I was like, all right, no problem, man. Keep the 20. You know, keep it. Hey, take care of me next time. So you got a bigger tip. And I went in there another time and I saw someone else did that. They're like, yeah, gave him a 20. And he was like, has anyone got change for a 20? And everyone said no. And I remember purposely looking and seeing someone pull out money before. So it is.
Uh-oh.
So if you're watching this and you go to a barbershop, make sure you have change. If you're going to end up giving a bigger tip.
Because even if they're
in
bed, you know, I mean, I'm a good tipper anyway.
I'm a good tipper.
I tip that anyways, but. I mean, if you get a bad one, and you don't want to leave them the full, you know.
No, well,
you know, what you would leave a good one, obviously. You should bring just mess with them, bring two rolls of quarters.
I'm the total.
And be like, do you have a change? And then just break the, the second one open.
A barbershop, and I only get my haircut. My hair grows fast, too. I need a haircut now. But getting a haircut is one thing that's important to me. Like, I don't want a bad haircut.
Uh-huh.
And, I won't. If I'm at a restaurant and something's bad, I might not say anything because I don't want to go back in the back and just,
mess with yourself.
Yeah, but if I'm at a barbershop or if I'm getting my haircut, I'm walking out happy. When they show me the mirror, if I'm not lined up the way I want, I'm going to keep on. I'm that guy.
Good.
I'm like a barbershop Nazi.
Yeah, and he's not going to run you over with his car, but he's going to karate chop you or throw you into an arm lock. So just be careful.
Uh-oh, I know. You got the martial arts skills.
And I always carry change, so just let you know, Barbara.
There you go.
Now he's carrying change. Anyway, this lady was...
Florida Man story that you found there, Rob.
Yeah, I'll post the link on so everybody can read the rest of it.
Or not Florida woman, a California woman.
California woman.
Oh, yeah. Got a little crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That is... But that's what a Florida Man story would be like.
You know? Sure.
Somebody goes off the rails and tries to run them over for a bad haircut.
I'm sure it's happened multiple times.
Well, I don't know.
You better watch out. It's about to happen to him any day now. He's hustling people out of those 20s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Oh, my gosh. That's funny.
So, going from that... we chose a topic this week about, and it's probably going to be abbreviated topic because we did talk a lot about the marketplace and everything, but we wanted to feature and talk about Tampa veteran-owned businesses.
Yeah.
You yourself are a veteran. You own a business. So we thought this would be something that you would have a lot of insight into and why maybe people should support veteran-owned businesses. And where they can find them as well.
And first I want to say thank you for
your service.
It's always,
I always try to support, the veterans and anything I can do, I'm always down for that.
Absolutely. And that's something near and dear to my heart. And the reason why I think people don't know, and I'm going to speak, for myself personally, there's so much that people don't really know. Sacrifice wise, and I don't just mean, obviously you sacrifice, you're putting your life at risk being in the military. You go overseas and go to combat and you could possibly get hurt or even not come back, and that's a huge sacrifice. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, from a business owner point of view, I didn't go to college, and not because I was a high, I graduated high school, got a scholarship through the Army to go to Korea, like that, and then my education was what the Army provide. Now there's GI bills, there's ways that people can go to college when they get out of the military, and that's great, and I really think everyone should do it. But a lot of people Some people make a career in the Army. Some people spend, you know, 20 plus years in the Army and get out. Some people spend, I was in the Army for almost 8 years. So when I got out of the Army, the idea of going straight from the Army to school wasn't really in my path at the time. I was a little bit older. I had a family. You know, it was time to go straight to the workforce. Mm-hmm. So that's a sacrifice that I see. Is a lot of people, you see entrepreneurs, you see business owners who actually, maybe they didn't go into the military. Maybe they went from high school to straight to college. They got adequate education and they went straight to, you know, they were prepared to start a business. Now you have veterans who did it a little bit different because, and a lot of them do, you know, actually go to college, but a lot of them don't. So some veterans, you know, they make that sacrifice. Say, I'm going to serve my country. I'm going to go into the military. They'll be in the military. And when they get out, they might not have the ability or finances to just go straight to school. Now you get a GI Bill that pays for college, but you still have other expenses. So I see a lot of veterans who want to be business owners that didn't go to college. They got straight out of the military and they literally went straight, hit the ground running to start up a business or a dream or something they believe in. And they might not have the experience level or even the qualifications of some of their fellow business owners. I've been to some workshops and business conventions and entrepreneur clinics where I look at people and I say, oh, this guy has a, you know, a master's degree. This guy was an accountant for a big firm before he started, and they did that. And then you see a couple of veterans and it's almost like, not because they don't want it, not because they don't have heart, but they're struggling in a retrospect because they didn't have the education to start that business. They have great discipline. They have great work ethics and they have education. They're very, you know, very educated, but they didn't actually start out on this business. So when I look at business owners and I look at veteran business owners, I give respect to anyone that starts a business. I give respect to people that have a job, you know, so I'm not playing one's better than another. Right. But when I see veteran business owners, I think of the struggle that I remember that, you know, when you're getting ready to start a business, sometimes maybe a veteran didn't actually get the training or go to the schooling that most business owners had. He just had a dream. He served his country or she served their country. Mm-hmm. And now that they're out, they want to start a business. And they're kind of behind the Powerball, behind the eight ball, I guess you'd say, a little bit more than some other business owners. So it's a little bit harder for them in that point. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they do it, you know? And with that said, there's tons right here in Tampa. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of veteran organizations that help. There's, if you look on Facebook, just to name a few that I know of, there's the Tampa Vet Net, which is it's a Facebook group only for veteran business owners.
Love that.
It's called Post 9/11 Tampa Veterans, and I'm actually very good friends. I've been on the radio with one of the leading. Her name's Carrie. Mm-hmm. She heads that up, and just to name a few, that you have Veterans of Foreign Wars, mm-hmm. which is nationally. And they help with veterans. You have American Legions. Yep. So you have a lot of organizations that are veteran ran, and it's to help these veterans actually help them with the tutelage and mentorship that maybe they didn't. They got great tutelage and mentorship of being a soldier or a sailor. They got great work ethics, but they might not have a business person above them that could kind of help them unless they reach out and find it. So that's why there's great organizations out there to do that. I myself, you know, if you're, and you don't have to be a veteran, if you're interested in a little bit of help or some coaching on us working with a business, I'd be more than happy to share my experiences and my knowledge as well.
Think you kind of sell yourself short on the military, you know, training that you got, which prepares you for owning a business. And like, it's right there on the wall. Integrity is something that you don't learn in school.
That's true.
It is true. Something that is pounded in your head in the military, and that's very important when you're dealing with customers and absolutely. Building a business.
Absolutely.
Is that, and like you said, the work ethic is super important. You can have somebody that went to school for 4 years, you know, maybe it took them 6 years because they're lazy or whatever. They don't, you know, they got all the knowledge, but they just don't have that drive and determination you know, you might have. So, you know, don't sell yourself short. Where you're missing, you're making up for, you know, double time in these other areas. Well,
thank you for noticing.
Yes, again, thank you for your service. We respect you so much, and anyone who's been in the military or has family in the military, I know it's a whole mm-hmm. it takes on the whole family. It's not just you.
It does.
You know, you've got a wife and kids at home, are hoping you come back safe and sound, and she's doing all the work while you're gone, you know. So right. Thank you all to all of you for your sacrifice and
yes,
your service.
100%.
So, yeah. And we love to support our veterans and our active duty military. So yeah, what do you have there? What'd you find here?
So we got, yeah, I mean, there's a huge list, like a lot larger than you would have thought. And, you know, I know because I see like Integrity Air Conditioning and Heating. I see their bands and everything, and it says veteran owned on it and everything. I think that's awesome. I think the name's awesome. Integrity is a great name. But, you know, there's yours, which Wesley Chapel Jiu-Jitsu, obviously, veteran owned by Tim himself.
I'm gonna give a little plug. This I have children classes, adult classes, and as a matter of fact, all military and veterans train 100% free here at my academy. So
that's
not
super
that
awesome.
isn't a you know, for the first month, if you're active duty military, and we have a lot of active. I actually work with a lot of the soldiers or the airmen at MacDill. And I have a lot of veterans here. So if you're active duty, even police officer, first responder, or a veteran, feel free to come in here. We train yeah. hard. We no egos. We have nothing to prove. You know, my adult class has more combat veterans than civilians, and the civilians love it. They no one in here plays I'm better than you, you're better right. than me game. We train hard, and then we all sit around and joke around when it's over. So
yeah, especially you guys awesome. Keep them skills tight and right.
Hi,
man. Yeah, with Tim over here, you gotta practice so you don't lose it.
If you're a barber watching this, I'm coming for you.
Yeah, you better watch out.
Barbers do not train free. There's
a
$5 upcharge. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm sure there's a lot of veteran-owned barbershops as well. I'm mm-hmm. not really seeing any of them here, but like one of the things I see here is Wounded Warriors and Action
Wounded
Foundation.
Wounded Warriors,
yes. Wounded Warriors.
I know that's they're the. You know, the charity, and that's part of it. And that's based, I mean, they started here, right?
I think
but they're national.
Right?
I don't know where they started. I know there is a Wounded Warriors in Brandon, Florida. There's a big Wounded Warriors actually corporate mm-hmm. office in one of the buildings of Brandon, because I passed by it a few times. Just one thing, and this is going to happen down here in Florida. When I was in North Carolina competing, and I actually fought six times in a Pro Jitsu was the network. And it's on pay-per-view. They were submission-only tournaments, super fights. So they weren't tournaments. You fight one guy. And my first one, I don't know, have you guys ever seen the show New York Inc. or Miami Inc.?
Yeah,
yes.
Miami Inc.
Okay, yes. Ami James. Okay. So I actually fought Ami James for my first super fight. He's a he's 5'11". He weighed 180 pounds. I'm 5'6". I weigh 150 pounds. And I called him out. I made a challenge video to him, being funny a couple years ago, and because he does MMA and stuff,
yeah.
And he accepted it. He accepted the challenge, and I said, you know, he sells uniforms, custom uniforms, his own brand through Century. And I made up just a funny YouTube video. I said, "Hey, Ami, I see you make, you know, jiu-jitsu gis now. I want to challenge you. You know, let's see if you're as good as your uniforms. If you beat me, I'll buy your most expensive gi. But if I beat you, you have to give me a tattoo." And I posted on Facebook, and I made a YouTube video, posted on Facebook. And a day later, I started getting a bunch of friends' requests from tattoo people.
Oh, my
and
God.
And very cool. I'm accepting them all and stuff. And my phone rings. And I don't accept the number, so I don't take the phone call. And it rings again. And it's ringing. I keep blocking it. So I take the call. And the voice, and I watched New York Inc. and Miami Inc. all the time. You know, me and my wife love that show.
Aww.
And the voice was on me. And I could tell, but I'm thinking, it was like, "Hey, this is Ami James." And I'm thinking it's one of my friends playing a joke. And I'm like, "Yeah, Ami James, okay." And he's like, he's just like he was on his shows, same in real life. Very, very serious, straightforward guy. And he's like, "What's this video that Vinny showed me?" You know? And I'm like, I'm thinking it's my friend still playing a joke.
My God.
And I'm like, "Yeah, you saw the video. If you want to fight, we can fight." You know? And then we keep talking. I realize it is Ami James.
Oh,
and so then I tell him, I'm like, "Look," I was like, I'm a veteran. I love martial arts. I'm a fan of yours. I was like, "If you would like to fight, I'll fight you. And maybe we can donate the money to veterans." And Ami's a veteran. Ami was in, I think he said he was in the Marines. So Ami was a veteran. He actually deployed to Iraq, so or to the first Gulf War, I think he said. So nonetheless, it hit his heart. And he said, "Tim," he was like, "I'll do it." He's like, "I'll fight you, and I'll donate. If you donate all your money, I'll donate all my money
to veterans for PTSD. Aww. And this is before there was a Pro Jitsu network. And so we were going to fight in another fight network, like cage fighting or something. And Ami confronted me when I said we can get the fight signed. And he said, Tim, he was like, that company's not going to donate the money to veterans. They'll tell you they will, but I don't think they'll donate all the money. They may donate smaller. Can you find a way that we can get all the money donated? So I knew a lot of guys that were active duty at Fort Bragg, Special Forces guys that were still doing martial arts. I talked to them about it. They put it together. The first pro, and Pro Jitsu is a big event now. It's on pay-per-view and everything. Wow. But the first Pro Jitsu event, we got a boxing ring put into the National Guard Armory at Fayetteville. Wow. It was on Valentine's Day. Oh. And it had 12 fights, 12 super fights, where they picked two people, you know, to fight and stuff. And Ami came. He came and he fought me on that day. And that was an open weight class fight. I didn't, you know, he's much bigger. Yeah. And out of all the fights that day, our fight was the only one that did not end in a submission. Every other fight, someone tapped out. Me and him, we fought for the entire 10 minutes, going at it hard. He almost heel hooked me one time. I caught him in a couple of nice chokes, but we just, neither one of us finished it. So it was a draw. And he was good enough. He actually brought a custom made uniform for me that was all embroidered up, presented it to me in the ring, you know, gave me a hug and everything. And our fight alone raised $5,000, which isn't, people are like, that's not much money, but that was $5,000 that we gave right to PTSD and stuff. And it was for, and that money went that time for the first Pro Jitsu. It went to research for VA, for the VA, Veterans Affairs Hospital. Mm-hmm. It went towards researching for PTSD and stuff. And that was Pro Jitsu. That was Pro Jitsu 1, you know, super fights and stuff. And then from there, Pro Jitsu got famous. People wanted to fight. They wanted to do it for charity and for everything. So several more Pro Jitsu events that still goes on on the East Coast, from North Carolina all the way up to, I think, New Jersey. They have events. They're on pay-per-view. So I fought five more times. I did 6 total Pro Jitsu fights. So I fought 5 more times before I stopped fighting in Pro Jitsu. And that's one thing that's on, you know, like we were saying earlier, martial arts has opened tons of doors for me. And that's one thing that's on my heart. You know, all veterans train for free here. And not just here, you know, this martial arts school is part of the Wesley Chapel Lesson Company, which is a larger facility that offers singing lessons, instrument lessons, recording lessons, art lessons, dance lessons, several. And we actually have something called Grants for Vets. So veterans, they can come here for anything to help them out and everything. And you know, like I said, in 2020, we're looking to put on a couple of jiu-jitsu events. Cool.
Wow, you gotta bring soldiers. Him back and do a rematch. Can't just end on a draw. You gotta have.
If you're watching this, Ami, I want a rematch. Ami, I'll take it. I'll take it too. Ami, he's probably ready. Will.
He's been training.
I think he lives in Miami now, so we might not be too far now. So.
I like it.
Bring it.
I'm down for a rematch.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
Great story. How many years ago was that?
That was in, I want to say, I think 2014 was when the first one was.
Hey, 2020.
Yeah, not far. 5 years ago.
God. He's ready. He's got a couple more little gray spots, but he's good.
Wow,
this guy's
cool.
a machine, I can tell. Anyway, let's give a shout out to a few of these that are on the website, and then we'll post a link to the everybody can look.
Definitely.
It's called veteranownbusiness.com. Right. You can look up where it is, like by Florida and by county. This is our county.
Cool.
Well, we're technically in Pasco, but I brought up Hillsborough because of the Tampa. Uh-huh. But everybody hears LLC. They sell hearing products apparently for an affordable price.
Mm-hmm.
A beautiful site, a small web development studio based in Central Florida.
Nice.
To be Epic Fitness and Nutrition, based out of Tampa. It's obviously a lifestyle
like
fitness type thing. this is another charity, I guess, or they provide, you know, wheelchairs and specialized motor equipment for veterans. Mm-hmm. The Florida Gulf Coast Paralyzed Veterans of America. Palmacea Fit Body Boot Camp, that's veteran owned.
Okay.
The Dog Patch, which is a doggy daycare and lodging.
I like that one. I like all of them.
Yeah. Vista Communications LLC. They're part of like marketing, management consulting and stuff like you do. Warhead Clothing Company out of Brandon.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that sounds,
I hit them up.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah.
I have to get them to the community market. Hey, Warhead, if you're watching, contact me. I'll give you a veteran special at the community market in the Grove.
Yeah, definitely. Warhead. Awesome. Probably like grunt style or something like that. Maybe along those lines. 123 Investing out of Apollo Beach. Financial Beach advisors. First Leap Workforce Consulting. Resume writing, career consulting, that'd be great for
veterans
in the job market or anybody in the job market. Mm-hmm. To set yourself apart. A Right Way Credit Counseling, if you've stumbled a little, you may need a little help on that. Mm-hmm. Maybe to buy your first home with Jen and or me.
And Ron. Yeah.
What we got here? We got a ton. I mean, there is so much more than
we'll post a link to this on the YouTube and Facebook and Instagram and everything. That way people, if they want to look up and see any specific business they need, if they want to hit up one of these, this would be a great opportunity to support a veteran. So for sure. There is a foundation here in the Wesley Chapel area that I know of called the Stano Foundation. And she is a military mom and she collects things year round that she ships overseas for for the military. Her son's over there, so care packages. You can always donate. You can go on their Facebook page and pull up their Amazon wish list and just send things whenever you feel like it or when they're doing a drive.
Especially
and they have little
now,
drop boxes
right?
around Wesley Chapel too. Yeah,
like for Christmas. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll make sure to give them a shout out too. So cool.
Anyway, we're about to wrap up. We're getting close. I want to do a quick, fun little trivia thing.
This is
kind of my thing. So, this is martial arts film trivia.
Here we go.
So we'll see. I took it and I didn't do so
Fingers
well.
Crossed.
I mean, I like some martial art films, but, here's the first one. Why is Fang Kang's arm cut off in The One-Armed Swordsman? I don't know if you've seen this one.
I have never seen that, but I'm going to assume.
Let me give you the choices.
Okay. Okay.
There's multiple choices.
I am a multiple choice kind of guy.
Yeah, that's good. You can narrow it down a little. A woman gets mad at him. An evil overlord punishes him, or he gets caught in a saw blade.
Ugh. Evil overlord punishes him.
That's what I thought. That would make sense, but apparently this might be a funny film because a woman gets mad at him.
So
that's my guess was.
Now was it? Now I'm curious. Jen knows she'll cut somebody's arm.
Oh, yeah.
That's what's up. You get mad at Jen gets mad at you. This would you probably know. Bruce Lee. You a Bruce Lee fan?
A little bit.
Okay. What is the name of Bruce Lee's character in Fist of Fury?
Fist of Fury.
You have your choices: Hiroshi Suzuki, Chen Zhen, Wu N.
Chen Zhen.
Yes, you are correct, sir. Yay. Ding, 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 ding. Fist of Fury was inadvertently released in the U.S. under which title? The Chinese Connection, The Eastern Star, or The Uppercut?
Chinese Connection.
Yes, sir. You are correct.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding. Well, we got a ringer here.
I better get this right.
Who stars in Bloodsport?
Jean-Claude Van Damme and Bolo Young.
Yep, Bolo Young too. Well, Jean-Claude Van Damme was the answer.
Ding, ding, ding.
That was you.
Which was actually based on true events.
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
Okay, now you're not going to like the answer to this one, but thanks to his work in Bloodsport, Van Damme was nominated for which award? Best fight scene, best supporting actor, or worst new star?
I'm going to say worst new star. I remember that movie. Great movie, but yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, he got worst new star, but that's an epic film.
You come a long way, John.
Film. Yeah, aww. But that's a good, I mean,
great
I love
film.
The movie.
I love that
yeah.
film.
How about this? What was the name of Jet Li's character in 2002's Hero? Did you see that one?
Yes.
Okay. The answers are Hero, Warrior, or he didn't have a name.
I'm going to say he didn't have a name.
Ding, 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 ding. That's correct.
Yay!
Man, you're killing it. How many parts of the Kill Bill series were there?
Two.
Yes. Ding, 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 ding. Who's the star of Ong Bak, the Thai warrior?
Ooh, I know that movie too. That's a good movie. All right, what are the choices?
Oh my God, you want me to pronounce these names? All right. Chiatavuth, Wacharakan, Suchao, Pungwalai, Tony Ja.
Tony Ja.
Ding, boom. Got it. So thank you for playing. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Tim.
You know, yeah, this was a great time. And,
I had a great time.
We can't wait. We're going to do something at the Groves, at the Marketplace, the first or last Saturday before Christmas. Yeah, all right. So if you're there and you want to come see me and Jen, see Tim, say hi.
Yeah.
We're going to be there. We're going to be talking to people as they go by, talking to some of the vendors.
Come on out. It's going to be great. Santa Claus, live music. We do giveaways. All the vendors donate stuff, and we do raffles all day long. You know, whoever has the biggest tattoo, come on up. You know, whoever, first person up with a hat on wins. So we do free stuff all day long. We have specials. Last week, if you spent $25 or more at any of the food trucks, which, come on, that's easy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If you spent $25 or more at any food truck, you could come up to our booth and we actually would give you a $10 Visa card. So we gave you $10 back. And this week, we're going to, every weekend, and it's in our brochure, we have a magazine, a full magazine size that we hand out at the Grove, and it has specials. So if you spend $25 or more at the vendors listed, we give you $10 back.
Yeah.
So,
that's awesome.
Maybe me and Jen will have to put something special
together. We'll
have some giveaways like at our booth.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll figure something out and
absolutely
and do that. But,
well, again, thank you, Tim Harrell.
It was great.
TLC Marketing Agency, The Grove. Community.
Yeah, all the veteran-owned businesses in the Tampa area.
Everything.
Whether I you know, mentioned you or not, we appreciate all you.
Yes, and, thank you.
You know,
all
that's
right.
it.
Well, so, have a great day, everyone. Yep. We'll see you at the Grove.
Peace.
Bye.